Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers chapter 23, and we're dealing with Israel getting near to the promised land, and here being near the Moabites, and a king, Balak of Moab, sees the big throng of Israel and saw their military victory on a neighboring country, and now is concerned about them taking over his land. And he, in his fear, calls a false prophet to come and curse Israel. And God is choosing to work in this situation with the false prophet. He still is a false prophet, but God is choosing to, you know, so to speak, minister to Balak through Balaam. And he's going to hear from Balaam, the false prophet. Balak is going to hear from him that God's not going to curse Israel, as Balak wants Balaam to do, to curse him. So it's an interesting situation here in the Bible, because we have someone who's really not of God, but God is choosing to work in this situation. But if you look carefully, even though it seems as though for now Balaam is following God, and in some ways he is temporarily, as you've heard from what I said in Numbers 22, if you were there, all throughout the Bible, Balaam is noted as a false prophet, and we're getting near the land of Peor, and it is there that Balaam he helps lead Israel into essentially harlotry with Moab, meaning Israel, while they're hanging around Moab, begins to take their women sexually, and also to worship Baal, which is a false god. So they commit the harlotry in that way as well, by not worshiping God divinely. And Balaam has something to do with that. That's what the Bible teaches us. So although he's honoring God momentarily here, at least in some ways, he's in the end not of God. So Balaam has now shown up, and he is speaking with Balak. And here we already can see signs of Balaam's error. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars for me here." Well, that's a sign for us. No false prophet, or excuse me, no prophet should be asking for 7 altars to be built for me, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here. Well, we don't have rams, and even in that day, that even though that they were doing sacrifices, they were supposed to be done at the tabernacle, not just on some hill. And definitely not for someone other than Yahweh. So he's having these sacrifices made for him. Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. So again, not correct. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand beside your burnt offering and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a bare hill. Now God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have set up the 7 altars, and I have offered up a bull and a ram on each altar." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and you shall speak thus." So he returned to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, he and all the leaders of Moab. He took up his discourse and said, so now this is what God had said to Balaam to tell Balak, "From Aram Balak has brought me." Remember, he brought Balaam from Aram to Balak. You know, they went and got Balaam to pronounce this curse, which he's not going to do. "Moab's king from the mountains of the east, come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? As I see him from the top of the rocks, and I look at him from the hills, behold, the people who dwells apart, and will not be reckoned among the nations, Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, but behold, you have actually blessed them. He replied, must I not be careful to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from where you may see them, although you will only see the extreme end of them and will not see all of them, and curse them for me from there. So Balak is wanting to try again, having Balaam go to a different location and curse Israel. So he took him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, stand here beside your burnt offering while I myself meet the Lord over there. I don't even know why Balaam is going at this point, you know, why even go to continue to potentially curse Israel when you've been told not to. And, you know, why go to a place of false worship up on a hill, and why make offerings to, you know, not correctly. So there's a lot of things Balaam is already participating in that he shouldn't. But for whatever reason, God is choosing to get this message to Balak through Balaam that God's not going to allow Israel to be cursed. Then the Lord met Balaam, verse 16, and put a word in his mouth and said, return to Balak, and thus you shall speak. He came to him, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering and the leaders of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took up his discourse and said, Balak's wanting to know from the false prophet Balaam again, what did God say? And Balaam says, this is what God said. Arise, O Balak, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless, and when he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. Because God's blessing was upon Israel. God's blessing was upon Abraham's family, and that's the way it was going to be, and it wasn't going to be changed at this time. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, that is, with Israel and with Jacob, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He is for them like the horns of the wild ox. For there is no omen against Jacob, and there is no divination against Israel, which is really what Balaam was up to, even though he's telling what God has said, but he essentially was a diviner who brought omens and things of that nature versus truly being of God. But he is rightly saying that God is not allowing an omen against Jacob, nor is there any divination against Israel. At the proper time, it shall be said to Jacob and to Israel what God has done, meaning God's going to bless them. Behold, a people rises like a lioness, and as a lion, it lifts itself. It will not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And ultimately, what he's saying is, this Israel is going to be like a lion, and it's going to come in and take over the promised land, because that's the land that God promised Abraham. Then Balak said to Balaam, do not curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Balak's now, he's kind of like, just don't bless Israel. He was calling them to curse, but he keeps pronouncing that there's a blessing upon Israel, and Balak's just wanting him to be quiet because the only thing coming out of his mouth is really blessing upon Israel. But Balaam replied to Balak, did I not tell you whatever the Lord speaks that I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will be agreeable with God that you curse them for me from here. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, which overlooks the wasteland. And Balaam said to Balak, build seven altars for me here and prepare seven bulls and seven rams. Balak did just as Balaam had said and offered up a bull and a ram on each altar. So they're going to another hill and they're going to do this all over again. And this, they've now reached Peor. And in not the next chapter, but the following one, we're going to have the sin of Peor, where ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to begin to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab and begin to sacrifice to their gods. And perhaps even, you know, these blessings that Balaam is speaking about from the high places here is they're seeing that maybe God is, they're being confused perhaps that God is speaking to Balaam from these high places, and somehow Balaam is part of getting them to worship false gods in the future, in the very near future here, and that's why he is very well known as a false prophet. So here we are. We just finished chapter 23. We'll have another chapter of this between Balak and Balaam in chapter 24, and then we'll see how things really change, and Balaam's notoriety is going to change as well. Thanks for listening, and let's see, what would the Lord have us take from this today? What comes to mind is a couple of things. One, don't get engaged in any kind of divination or any kind of omen. Stay completely away from all that garbage. You know, there are evil powers and evil spirits, and they can be deceptive. And getting into those realms of anything other than the Word of God and Jesus and His Holy Spirit, but getting into any kind of other false worship, omen, or divination, you could easily be deceived. It could even be that Satan disguises himself and even seems to align himself with God's ways, which is only going to make it even more deceptive than when Satan were to say something else, or through divination you hear something else, and someone could be tempted to think that it was actually from God because they began to lend their ear in the wrong direction. So just rebuke and stay away from anything that's not purely of God. And if, you know, it's not the place to go. You don't go looking for God up on a false place of worship. You don't go looking for God amongst false people who are wanting to sacrifice false offerings. Look to God from His Word, from His Spirit, and from the genuine people of God, and not something else. The other thing is you know what? Don't get involved in cursing Israel. God has His blessing upon Israel, and He is still going to have a plan and a future plan for Israel. And those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel are going to be cursed. And even though Jews that have not accepted Jesus are going to experience tribulation for not coming to Jesus as Lord and Savior, God has not given up on them, and we are not too as well. And be wary of turning your back against God's people, because His blessing is upon Israel. And I think those are two things that we can take from this today. God bless you all.